Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio, located inside Digital Ignition, where North Atlanta startups take off. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm your host, John Ray, with a guest I've been looking forward to, Clark Savage.
Hello, John.
Clark, you got a better radio voice than I do. I'm just telling you.
I've been told that before.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Ted Koppel.
I love it. Clark is with Clayton Camera Craft Photography, but that's basically your business, so that's who you are.
Yeah.
Okay, terrific. So before we get into it with Clark, and he's got a great story to tell I've been looking forward to, I want to let you know that our studio here is here in the Digital Ignition co-working space, and Digital Ignition is the ultimate place for entrepreneurs to work, innovate, learn, establish, and grow their companies. Nestled within a 45,000 square foot building is an open floor plan with co-working office space, dedicated desk, private offices, meeting rooms, event space, a classroom, and a great break room with outdoor patio and all the fresh ground coffee you can drink. If you want great co-working as well as space which impresses investors, customers, and future employees, visit digitalignition.com. Clark Savage.
John, can I say something real quick about the building?
Bring it on.
In proper vernacular, current vernacular, I think it's dope. I think it really is a very cool-looking building. I mentioned that, but you know, when you walked up to it, it really does look like a spaceship, and I'm expecting it, you know, to take off to Planet Nine here at some point. But anyway, it's a great looking operation, a great looking building.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's a great building, great, and it backs up to the Greenway.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, did you come in the back or the front?
I came in the front, but I drove too far. Okay. I went to the next, and so I drove over the Greenway actually, and had to turn around. And come
I
back,
got you. So, I got you. Okay. No, it's a great place, and so thank you for that.
Yeah.
But let's get to you. So, Clark Savage, you've got your own photography business. You've been in the business a long time. Tell people about that.
I moved to the Georgia area around 1987 and went back to school, Georgia State, and then started working for a photographer here in Alpharetta whose name was Forrest Clayton, thus Clayton Camera Craft. He started Clayton Camera Craft around 1978 right there in downtown Alpharetta across from the Wells Fargo.
What, and when it was dirt streets or something?
Well,
they
used to have horses every once in a while we're walking down the road, which sometimes it'd be nice if they brought them back. But I went to work for him. I was already an accomplished photographer, professional photographer, and so while I was in college, I was photographing weddings and portraits and so forth. Then when I graduated from Georgia State, he and I started talking. He wanted to retire. So I went to work for him full-time for a year, and he showed me the lay of the land with the business, and we worked on worked out a five-year agreement where I would pay him 15% of gross revenues every month for 5 years. So I was cash poor coming into it, and it was a very good situation for both of us.
That's great. So you've been at this quite a while. You've done a variety of different jobs, shall we say, different types of photography. Mm-hmm. What kind of photography do you do now? Where's your focus?
It's portrait. It's high-end portraiture with a bent on commercial work. And that can be everything from a corporate function to a corporate headshot to a family sitting. It kind of revolves around that. We used to do 30 to 60 weddings a year. Don't do weddings anymore. Kind of eased back from that. I mean, I grew up doing weddings. I know weddings inside and out. But it's just not something I want to pursue anymore. So high-end portraiture primarily. And there's a reason for that. I think every photographer has to decide what kind of photographer they are.
Sure.
And I love people. I love everything about people. And I feel most comfortable when I'm around people. I don't like being alone. So in regards to posing and talking and getting beautiful expressions, and that's what I'm best at. So I'm a portrait photographer primarily.
Now, we were talking before we came on the air that obviously the Apple iPhone has changed photography to say the least. There's some folks that think photography, all it is pulling out a phone and hitting the button, right?
Well, absolutely. And I have to in all honesty, I was pretty depressed about the way things were going in the photography industry. You know, we were established with how we were doing things. Things were going great. We were very busy. We were making money. And then by little, this digital thing kind of starts creeping in, and I could see it. I mean, my business was disappearing. And it all seemed to happen at the same time as the economy tanked, which didn't help things either.
So 2007, 2008.
Right around there is when it really started hitting strong. I can remember being out to lunch with a good friend of mine who's a consultant, and he was the right guy at the right time. And he hit me upside the head, and he said, "Clark, you've got a decision to make. You've either got to get on board or you've got to find something else to do." And I took on that challenge and went digital, you know, right after that. And digital started off really poor, and it's now gotten to a level where it's really cool. So we really had to change the way we think about photography. We had to change the way we market our photography. We had to change really every aspect of it. Although the fundamentals of photography are still the same, they're just done with a computer in a box as opposed to film.
So what are the fundamentals of photography that you still have, that the constant in this sea of change that you've...
You still have to understand lighting. You still have to understand ASA. You still have to
ASA being?
The speed of the rate of the film. In other words, a slower film would be 125 ASA, and you would need a lot of daylight, let's say, in order to take the photograph or flash. Versus being in a room that was fairly dark, you could have 1,600 or 16,000 ASA and be able to photograph under much lower light levels. So you still have to understand what you need to do. They're all the same as far as the five characteristics. ASA, shutter speed, which is how fast the shutter opens and closes, thus freezing the action, or allowing more light into the sensor to pull in ambient light, and the f-stop. Which is depth of field, which is an interesting story in itself. A number of years ago, I had a gal who was a professional photographer working out of her house. I took a look at her website, and she had some pretty good-looking images on there, seniors, kids, family portraits. But she wanted to hire me because she was having some issues. And she came into the studio, and I sat down with her, and I said, what is the first thing that you're having a problem with? And she says, well, you know, I'll take a big family group, but the people in front will be in focus, but the people in back will be out of focus. And I looked at her and I said, well, do you understand depth of field? And she's like, well, I think I've heard of it. So, you know, right then, that ought to tell you something about digital photography and cameras. You may be able to take a picture, but are you really a photographer? Okay. Right. Are you really someone you want to trust with spending a lot of money on to take your photos? So, generally, the fundamentals are the same. They're just done with a computer, not so much with a box anymore.
And what you're doing in photography is you're really bringing out the personality of the person that you're photographing. So, it's really more than just snapping a picture. Tell us a little bit about how you do that, how you go through that process.
Well, anytime you photograph someone, you have to try to make friends with them, okay? You want to get to know them. And that there's a twofold reason there. One is that when you're talking to people, you get them to relax more. You get their facial muscles to relax so that they can give you the kind of look that you want. I mean, even myself, when I first walked in here, I was feeling nervous, and now I'm getting more comfortable, and so I'm feeling more at ease. It's the same sort of process.
Mm-hmm.
So other than that, it also gives us time to study their face, to study their smile, to study their body. And, you know, when you spend time with someone, you can see how they look best when they're sitting, whether they be rolled over onto one hip or whether they're turned to one side or another. We all have, you know, a nose that might go one direction or an eye socket that's larger than the others or a lazy eye. I mean, you never know. So each of us are individuals. Each of us are absolutely beautiful. And my job as a photographer is to be able to look at them and pull out the greatest beauty I can out of them. So I've never met an ugly person. I've met very ugly attitudes, and those are people you don't really want to photograph because they're not really worth it.
Right. We're speaking with Clark Savage, and Clark, among other things, is the owner, the president of Clayton Cameracraft Photography. So you've got some interesting stories to tell us. One is about Jimmy Carter, President Jimmy Carter.
Google hired me to do their grand opening here around, I think it was around 2003 or 4. And I didn't know a lot about Jimmy Carter. I knew that he had had a rough presidency. And I knew that he was involved with something called Habitat for Humanity. But I didn't really know what he was like as a person. And he was going to be the guest of honor at this grand opening event that they were having down at their offices in Midtown. So when I got down there, they had a very large room that was set up with a stage and chairs and food. And a number of dignitaries and the press were there. And behind that stage was the work area where they had their marketing pods. They call them pods, marketing pods, finance pods, et cetera. And those pods consisted of chest-high cubicles for people to work in with monitors that were vertical that you could slide in between the two monitors. So prior to him arriving, they were giving tours back in around the pods, and I was getting familiar with the situation, taking various photographs of things. And then he arrived with his Secret Service detail, which was an interesting thing in itself. I'd never worked with the Secret Service. But he spoke and had very high praise for Google. And then he and his entourage got their own private tour. And so it was just us walking around, him asking questions. And near the end of the tour, he asked one of the Google employees if they could sit down in his cubicle so that he could take a look at how you could slide in between those two monitors. So dig this, John. This is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this president of the United States and this Google employee and no press, and me as a fly on the wall just sort of taking pictures, trying not to get in the middle of anything.
Sure.
And they talked about the monitors and writing and so forth and so on. And the Google employee, he had a photograph of a 5x7 boy right next to his monitor. And President Carter looked at him and said, well, is that your son? And he said, yeah. He says, well, tell me about him. And he says, well, he's a great kid, but he's autistic. He's very sick and fairly low on the spectrum, and it's very trying. Well, automatically there's a transformation in that president's face. He's no longer a celebrity. He's no longer president of the United States. He's just a man. These are just two men talking. And near the end of the conversation, President Carter looks at him and says, will you do me a favor? And he says, well, sure. He says, take out a piece of paper, write your name, your son's name, and your home address on it. I do a lot of writing, and when I get back to the library today, I'd like to sign a children's book I've written and mail it to you. Which, boom, I mean, that just blew me away.
Yeah.
As I sit here today, if Jimmy Carter asked me to dig a ditch, all he'd have to do is hand me the shovel and I'd do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he made that guy's life just by that one simple action. And he didn't do it for press. He didn't do it to get anything out of it other than just to tell the guy that, you know, I'm with you, I'm praying for you, and everything's going to be okay.
Wow, what a great story. We'll have this in the show notes, folks, but Clark's brought a great picture of President Carter at that Google event. Pretty cool.
It was one of those events I came out of, and I looked to the heavens and said, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Getting inside human life is very intriguing to me. Lives can be very difficult, and we're all going to the same place, mm-hmm. and we all really need to take care of each other to get there.
Sure. Yeah, we've all got the same sentence, right?
Yep.
So you're involved with the Alpharetta Arts, or Arts Alpharetta, I should say. You're the co-president of Arts Alpharetta.
Yes, I am.
A whole lot has happened in the
last
few years.
Boy, has Alpharetta changed, John.
How about that? Yeah.
It's an unbelievable place. It's just great. Mm-hmm. I don't know. When I moved to Alpharetta, it would have been around 1994. And when we bought our first house there, and just in that short amount of time, things have really changed.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, they have just gotten—I hate to use the word—awesome, because they really, it really has. I mean, we've got
Janet Rogers would be very happy with that word. Yeah.
A number of years ago, about 3 years ago, the city of Alpharetta started wanting to get more involved in the arts, and so they looked towards a woman by the name of Diana Schmiel, Larry Attig, a number of business people and artistic people that were in the city of Alpharetta to try to form a group that would kind of spearhead this thing and move it forward. And so they founded a nonprofit called Arts Alpharetta. And really, Arts Alpharetta does three things. The first one is we have this wonderful art center right on the corner of Mayfield and Canton Street, which used to be the old library. Believe it or not, they still have people coming up thinking it's the old library and
bringing their long overdue books, right?
But we manage the gallery space in there. So we have gallery shows. Right now we have Deanna Searlin in there, and she has just wonderful artwork. She's an international artist, lives right here in Alpharetta. And so we manage the art space in the, or the gallery space in the art center. We have an umbrella group of the arts nonprofits in Alpharetta, and we work with them. We do marketing with them. We work to get grant money with them. And the third and final thing is we do outdoor art. So Brook Street Park, right now we have a show called Miscellany, which is a temporary show of seven pieces that will be rotating out in July, and then we'll be bringing in more. We have designs on the Greenway on Thompson Street and the Thompson Street Park, and then perhaps even the Alpha Loop once we kind of get there. So those are the three things we do. Work with the Arts Center, the Arts Umbrella, and we do the outdoor art.
Now, for the hardcore business people out there, you know, some of them I'm sure are thinking, why do I care about, you know, the Arts Center, right? So tell us about that.
It's pretty simple. I mean, we've got everything in Alpharetta. We've got great schools. We've got great restaurants, great shopping, great government. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll say it. Yeah, we have great government. We really do. Mm-hmm. And arts is one of those things that study after study after study shows it's a quality of life issue, not just with adults but with children. Mm. Children that are involved in artistic ventures, whether it's playing piano or painting, they typically score higher in their test scores and do better in life if they have an artistic bent. So Arts Alpharetta's mission is really to enhance the artistic experience for the citizens of Alpharetta. And we try to do that on every avenue possible. Those three main areas are the ways that we're working on right now, but you know, who knows what tomorrow will bring. So from a business standpoint, one of the things that you look at before you locate a business here is what? Schools, right?
Sure.
Great schools. Another thing is music, entertainment.
Quality of life.
Quality of life. Right. Mm-hmm. We've got the Greenway. We've got great parks. We've got the Encore Park for live music. Mm-hmm. And live music is something that we're also going to be working on more in Alpharetta. Mm-hmm. That's going to even get even increase. And then we have arts. We have great art classes that are taught, as well as the arts surrounding us in our day-to-day environment. So I kind of look at it as a key component that corporations look at as far as having their people work and live here in Alpharetta.
Yeah, it means a lot, and for sure. And folks, there's a return there that's important to understand.
Well, I think people will be more productive, they'll be happier, and they'll want to live and work in this environment.
And that's what you're looking for if you're trying to move to awesome Alpharetta.
Awesome Alpharetta.
Awesome Alpharetta, right, for sure. So now I know you've got opportunities for businesses and other groups to be able to use the Arts Center, right? Talk about that.
We do. Well, we are renting out the gallery space, and that can be in the evening from, say, 5 to 10 if they want to have a corporate function there. And we basically have two rates for, Sunday through Thursday and then Friday and Saturday. It's great for team building, for sales meetings, for parties, you know. We did a chamber event there, and that was great.
It was, yeah. I was there.
And we're going to continue. We have, you know, three more art shows planned, or gallery shows planned for the rest of the year. So after Deanna Searlin's show, then we're bringing Folk Art and Fiber. So
oh, wow.
We're changing gears on stuff. So it's awesome. It really is. It's really cool.
Now, for those that are interested in that, give them a website that they can go to keep up with what's going on there.
Well, our web address for Arts Alpharetta is artsalpharetta.org. Yeah. And that'll tell you everything that you need to know. And if there are artists listening to this, when we do these shows, we have people present pieces, whether it be one piece for a multi-artist show or an entire gallery if you want it. We have amazing people that live in Alpharetta. You're aware of this.
Oh, yeah.
We have just phenomenal top-level sports and entertainment people living around us, and that includes artists. And Deanna Searlin is one of those artists. Her quality is second to none. It's really great.
Well, thanks for your work in bringing that out, because it's such an important part of what Alpharetta has to offer the world, for certain.
You're very welcome. It's our pleasure too. We really enjoy it. Our board is we just had a board meeting yesterday, and we've got enough people involved with it now. It actually feels like a board.
That's great. That's great. We're speaking with Clark Savage, and Clark is the owner, the president of Clayton Cameracraft Photography. Also gives a lot of time back to the community in the form of Arts Alpharetta. Now, you speaking of artistic endeavors, you've been working on a book.
I have. I'm in the final editing process of a book called The Kenyan Rhino Riders Club, and that came about as a result of learning about the poaching crisis of rhinoceroses and elephants in Africa. And I wanted to create a book that creates awareness of that crisis. You know, rhino horn is nothing more than keratin. It's nothing more than fingernail or hair. It has no medicinal value at all, but it is viewed as an aphrodisiac and as a cure to cancer by Asian communities. So it's worth an awful lot of money to them. Elephant tusk, there's really no use for it other than something to hang on your wall, and piano keys, which doesn't make sense anymore. So I wanted to write an entertaining book that would shed light on that crisis and create awareness for it. So I created this character, the protagonist, who is a female veterinarian who goes through a crisis in her life, and she can choose to stay on the ranch in Kalispell, Montana, or she can move to Kenya and take a job as part of a rapid response team as a veterinarian to provide aid to animals. In Kenya, Kenya has a shoot-to-kill order now for poachers. They've taken it very seriously.
Wow.
So she moves there. She learns about the good versus the evil, learns about the entire process, and she falls in love with another veterinarian while she's there. The idea of a Kenyan Rhino Riders Club, I need to expand on that just a little bit.
Yeah, bring that on.
All my relatives are from Idaho, okay? So I've been to more than my share of rodeos and bull riding. So I thought, what if they rode rhinos like they do bulls, okay? That was kind of the initial thinking on it. And so I created this fictional challenge that the Maasai warriors do, where they would prove their manhood by riding rhinos. Sounds believable enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been going on for centuries. So then there was a colonel during World War II that learned about this, and he had a severe morale problem with his troops. So he decided to get some rhinos, put them in a ring, and then on the weekends the troops would come back, they'd get liquored up, and they would bet on riding rhinos. That is where the Rhino Riders Club came from. So now in the story, we actually have a championship that is now an international sponsored and ESPN type event. It's like their World Series or their Super Bowl, where they have this Rhino Championship ride-off between six riders from all around the world, because there's 11 clubs all around the world. And it's graphic, it's funny, it's entertaining. And the whole point of the championship is it's a way to raise money for the Kenyan Wildlife Service to protect their wildlife and breed the rhinoceroses and elephants, and to make the park safer. So it's a great story, and it's going to be the first of a series. I'm planning on three. And at the end of the story, the veterinarian, the female veterinarian, finds out who she really is, what her purpose in life is, and finds out that her purpose was actually preordained by the Maasai legends centuries before.
Wow, it sounds like quite a yarn.
It is. It's been fun writing it.
Goes, yeah.
I've always been a writer to a certain extent, but it took a lot of effort to kind of sit down and pull this together. It's been a real learning experience and a very entertaining one. Generally, I'll get up in the morning at, say, 4 o'clock and start writing around 5, and all of a sudden it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I don't even know where the day has gone.
Mm.
So the way I kind of got into it was I'd start thinking of scenes in my mind, how I wanted something to kind of play out. And then I would write it, and then I'd rewrite it, and write it again, and write it again, and write it again, and then edit, and then come up with something that was polished and sounded great.
And I guess that's particularly important if you're a fiction writer, right? Because you've got, if you're got the visual orientation that you do, it makes it a little easier, I would think.
I imagine you're right. It is a very visual. When you have a person read a piece of drama, commercial drama, you are taking them out of their world and putting them in yours. And you want them to completely believe what they're reading is actually happening before their eyes. So you're creating a movie in their own mind, which is really the best movie in the world. I mean, you can go watch something that is filmed and be entertained by that. But when you read, you're creating the story in your own mind, and you're seeing things that you wouldn't see if you were just watching a movie, if that makes sense. So absolutely. It's a kind of telepathy sort of thing.
Absolutely. So, folks, we're speaking about the Kenyon Rhino Writers Club, a forthcoming book by Clark. Here, and when do you expect it to be out, or do you know yet?
It depends. We're in the final editing process. I've done a manuscript assessment, and once we get it completely polished, then we'll start on the process of writing inquiry letters to agents. I want to find a professional literary agent to shop the book and get it sold. My goal, like I said from the start of this book, is to create awareness, okay? And I want to see it everywhere, and the money is important. Don't get me wrong; I'm a capitalist. But more than anything, I want people to become aware that this is not good. Mm-hmm. What is going on in Africa? I mean, we're in this world; we're surrounded with issues. But these animals, especially what you start learning about, elephants are as much of a family group as human beings are, and they're incredibly intelligent. Rhinoceroses have just as much a right to the land; they've been around for centuries. Do we really want to see them go? And what does that say about us as human beings or as humans or as creatures if we turn our back on this sort of genocide?
Very eloquent. Thank you for that. So we'll be looking for that. The Kenyon Rhino Writers Club, we'll be looking for that book here. And I assume that'll be on your website?
It'll be on our website, and it's a process. I can't really give you a date as to when it's coming out because
no worries.
It just depends on a lot of things. The hardest part is staying creative in writing while trying to make a living.
for sure. So speaking of making a living, back as we wrap up here, so talk about your photography business in terms of who are good clients for you, the kind of business you're looking for.
Good clients for me are ones that are willing to that identify with high-quality portraits over a long period of time. Really, there's two types of clients. You're a commercial client, which is a corporation. For example, a major country club where I do headshots for them twice a year and have so for 30 years. Okay. Another is a family where we start photographing their children, and we do that repeatedly once a year over a long period of time and then do a family group. So the best kind of clients, and really what's interesting about the clients that I have that I just described, they're part of my family. I learn about them. I learn about their kids going to college. I learn about who's sick. I learn about what's happening. That's kind of I almost want to call it a dirty little secret. It's not really a dirty little secret, but you really get into people's lives. You find out about who is alive, who dies, who's sick, who's going away to school, who's going away into the service. And those are the best customers for me on the portrait side, because I want to know these things. I want to try to lend a helping hand while taking their portraits. And over a period of time, you really become part of a family, so to speak. On the corporate side, certainly it's more business, but we want long-term customers. I have probably one of my oldest customers is Nordstrom, and I've been photographing Nordstrom since they came to Georgia. And it was just by pure happenstance that I got them as a client, and I've seen things go up for them. I've seen things come down for them. One thing that's always been a constant about Nordstrom is the positive vibe that's in that place. Their employees like working there. They like selling their product, and it just shows when you walk into a building where everybody's enjoying what they do. So Nordstrom is one of those clients that I really enjoy because it's a very uplifting event and job.
Now, this may be obvious, Clark, but, you know, sometimes the most obvious question has an answer that's not exactly obvious.
Okay.
So I'm a corporate event planner, or I'm a corporation planning an event. Why do I want somebody like you to come take, take photos of that event?
Well, it certainly depends. If you have someone on staff that can do it, you probably don't need someone like me. However, not a lot of companies do that. And it also depends what kind of event it is. Our job for a sales rollout event, we photograph every aspect of it, all of the speakers, all of the entertainment, the smaller groups, of the company, and we'll do it in a seamless fashion and provide you with high resolution images at the end of the day that you can use for any of the marketing efforts that you might have in your plan.
And it certainly helps memories, right?
Well, it does.
Particularly if the event is a good one that you want to memorialize.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It builds, well, one of the big things is building esprit de corps. And, I just talked about how Nordstrom is always a very positive sort of feel. I mean, it's interesting, but you can walk into a business and you can tell. One thing as a photographer is I'm a huge reader of body language and how people communicate. So, you can walk into a company, you know what I'm talking about, and
absolutely,
you can sense if they're not happy there, if there's something wrong. And it all starts at the top. It all starts with the leadership. And if nothing else, those kinds of events and documenting it in photography just builds on the esprit de corps. It builds on the entertainment value. It builds on making life worthwhile. And that's what we do.
Good stuff. Clark Savage, Clayton Camera Craft Photography. For those that would like to be in touch, tell them how to do that.
They can reach me on my website at atlantaphotographer.com, or they can call me directly at 770-883-3305. And I would like to add one more thing.
Please.
That I wish I'd probably said before I got going on this. All of this is for the glory of God. And everything that's ever come into my life has been a result of my relationship with God. And I don't believe that people can be happy for the long term unless they have a personal relationship with their Lord.
Well, thanks for that, Clark. And I also have to say that you're a class guy. It's a pleasure knowing you. And there are probably a bunch of photographers that wish they had that URL, right?
Yes. Well, back then, honestly, there were no photographers on the internet, John.
Right.
And I was
because they didn't want to be on it, right?
They didn't know what it was. Yeah. I didn't know what it was. I was communicating with a photographer in California, Cupertino, California, who was being sponsored by Compaq Computer, of all computer companies, right?
And he
had like a small website with a few images on there. And he was like, I don't know if this internet thing is going to take off or not. I'm not sure. So I thought, well, I'll give it a shot, And so I went out there and got that URL. I wish I had gotten Delta Airlines and Atlanta Braves and, a couple other while I was at it.
Right.
But, you could choose any URL you wanted to back then.
I love it. I love it. Clark Savage, Clayton Camera Craft Photography, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, John. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, folks, if you need help curing the headaches of administrative tasks, bookkeeping, marketing, presentations, then go engage a smart and reliable Office Angel. They're not a temp agency or a placement firm. Office Angels personally matches your business support needs with angels who have the talent and experience necessary to help you maintain and grow your business on an ongoing or as-needed basis. Your terms and your timeline. They lend a hand when needed and fly off when the job is finished. Find out more at officeangels.us or call Chief Executive Angel S.E. Escobedo at 770-442-9246. And I'd like to remind everyone that we have an archive full of shows with great business leaders like Clark Savage, about 130 or 40 shows, over 400 guests have been through this studio over the last 3 years. So go seek that out, northfulton.businessradiox.com. Search for whatever industry, whatever business leader you're looking for, and you're going to find some great interviews there. So that's a wrap for today. I'm your host, John Ray. Join us next time again for another edition of North Fulton Business Radio.